one question that I want to deal with. Sedra is Parshas Toldos, right? Am I up to the right Parsha? Parshas Toldos.
Parshas Toldos is the Parsha of Yitzchak Avinu. The twins are born, and whatever transpires in the life of Yitzchak, the brachas to Yaakov and Esav, ultimately the end of the Seder is that Yaakov goes, is sent, flees, runs away to Lavan.
Yeah, but the Seder is Yitzchak. Now it would seem, as we go through the Seder, that
Yitzchak doesn't seem to be doing anything that is terribly, terribly exciting. Yitzchak
digs wells
and digs wells and keeps digging wells.
Yitzchak plants. Yitzchak seems to be leading a very prosaic, pastoral, agricultural life that doesn't seem to impact too much on anybody, and we may be left with the impression that, well, yes, Avraham Avinu was the giant. Oh, how much we've talked about
Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is the giant. Avraham Avinu is the one who discovers God.
Avraham Avinu is the one who dramatically changes
a whole world until this very day. Avraham Avinu's impact is felt throughout the world. Yaakov Avinu, of course, is going to be the one who's going to establish the nation
Israel is going to come from his 12 children.
Yitzchak seems to be sandwiched there in the middle. Maybe one might even think, mistakenly, that he is no more than a bridge between Avraham and Yaakov. And by the way, that in itself already is no small accomplishment. Yitzchak is the one to whom Avraham Avinu transmits all of his great discoveries, and more than that, the Mesiras Nefesh, the willingness to give one's life. This is powerful. This is powerful. And to be able to transmit that to Yaakov and in fact create Klal Yisrael, that's big. Maybe the point of the shiur is going to be that even in what seems to be very mundane, digging wells, planting, that also may be of great historic significance for Klal Yisrael. I'll just read a few psukim from the parasha. It says that there was a famine in the land. Yitzchak then decided that he would follow in the footsteps of his father Avram. What had Avram Avinu done when there was a famine? He went down to Egypt. But before he can do that, Vayeda Elohim Hashem, God appears to Yitzchak and he told him, Al Tedeid Mitzchayma. Don't go down to Egypt. Oh, later on, he's going to tell in Parashat Vayikash, he's going to tell Yaakov, Al Tira Miridom Mitzchayma. Don't be afraid of going down to Egypt. Anochi Eireidimcha, I'm going to go down with you. Va'anochi El Chogamolo, and I'm going to bring you up out of Egypt. Yaakov, God is going to say, don't be afraid. Go down. I'll go with you. I'll come back with you. Avram is not stopped from going down to Mitzrayim, but Yitzchak, God says, Al Teded Mitzrayimah, Shchon Ba'aretz, dwell in the land Asher Omar Elecho, that I will tell you. In this land, Gur Ba'aretz Hazos, live in this land. Ve'yemcha, I will be with you and I will bless you. All of these lands I will give to you as I have sworn to Avram, your father. I will make your children many. Stay here in this land. Shchon Ba'aretz, the Medrash says two pshatim in the word shchon. Shchon, asei bo shchuna, make a neighborhood, build a few dirot. In addition to what we're going to see in the parasha, he digs wells and he plants. He's also supposed to build a shchuna. Build in the land. There's a second pshat in the Medrash that says, Shchon Boretz Hazos, Hashkein Bo Shchina, bring the divine presence down onto Eretz Israel. In a sense, I see in Yitzchak a joining together of heaven and earth. He's supposed to take that Shchina and bring it down to the earth of Eretz Israel. Two major tasks. And then it goes on later, the parsha says that he goes down to Plishtim, the land of Avimelech. That's of course Aza. Now if Yitzchak was supposed to remain in Eretz Yisrael, it's quite clear that the parsha is telling us that Aza is part of Eretz Yisrael, because he can't leave, and there he is. He's down in Gror, which is Aza, and he digs wells, and all the wells that were dug in the days of Avraham, the Plishtim had covered them. He redigs those wells. In previous years, we learned the story of the wells and its significance, and I think we gave a shiur a few years ago on the Ksav HaKabbalah, who says that he redug the wells of Avraham Avinu, and he gave them the same names that Avraham had given them. What's the significance of this? So the Ksav HaKabbalah, Rabbi Yaakov Mecklenburg, says that Avraham Avinu gave names to the wells that spoke about the greatness of God, because he wanted to get people talking and thinking about the divine presence. So like, you know, you didn't just go to a well, you went to the well of the God of heaven, the well of the God of earth, whatever other earthly and beyond earthly names he gave to those wells. The Plishtim who stopped up the wells were not only attempting to destroy Avraham Avinu's accomplishments in this earth, they wanted to close the religious influence that Avraham Avinu was having. It was a religious struggle as well. The struggle over the wells went far beyond just plain wells. The struggle over the wells was an ideological and a religious struggle. And then Yitzchak, of course, finally the king, Avimelech, tells him, Leich me'imanu, leave us, go from here, because you have become mightier than us. So Yitzchak has to leave. And then it says that he planted, and he received Meir Sha'arim in return. Vayizra Yitzchak Ba'aretz Ahi, Yitzchak planted in that land. Vayimtza Bashana Ahi, that year there was a year of famine. Meir Sha'arim, 100 times more than that which he had planted. Vayivorcheu Hashem, God blessed him. He seems to be a man of the earth, involved in earthly matters. As we say, he digs wells. I just remember how I ended that shiur some years ago. All's well that ends well. All right. You see it? Okay. So that was Yitzchak. But however, there obviously has to be a great deal more significance. And I have an approach that I want to share with you today. The approach that I want to share with you is based on the Ramban, Nachmanides, and on the Rambam, Maimonides. The Ramban is a famous Ramban. The Ramban establishes a principle in Parshat Lech Lecha that is referred to by the words of the Medrash, Ma'asei Avot Siman Labanim. The deeds of the fathers were Siman Labanim. The deeds of the fathers, whatever was done by Avraham, by Yitzchak and Yaakov, was a paving the way for their children. Ultimately, it had significance in the history of the Jewish people that would come after Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Torah tells us all sorts of things about where Avraham went, where he pitched his tent, what he did here, what he did there. What is its significance? So the Medrash says its significance is, you should know that wherever Avraham Avinu went, he was beating a path. He was blazing a trail for his children who were to come later. And the Ramban points out different way stations in Avraham Avinu's life, where in fact you see precisely what was accomplished by virtue of the fact that Avraham went here or went there or did this or did that. And the same thing is going to be true in the life of Yitzchak and the life of Yaakov. Let's take a look on that first page. Masa Ova Simon Abonin. And I'm bringing quotations, parts of the Ramban. Miyad Matchil Ramban Laharchiv LeFareit B'Bir Yisod Dvarav Shekol Maasei HaAvot Hayu Simon Abonin. The Ramban details, after he establishes the principle that Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim, he then goes ahead and he details it. He tells us exactly how it works. For example, the following are the words of the Ramban: V'ani matchil lefareish ha'inyanim bifrat bepsukim be'ezrat Hashem, and I'm going to explain all of this in the psukim with God's help. It says at the beginning of Lech Lecha, Vayavar Avram Ba'oretz Av Mekom Shechem, Avram went through the land until he came to Shechem. The Chosav Rashi writes over there, Nichnas Letocha Ad Mekom Shechem. He went into Eretz Yisrael Ad Mekom Shechem, until the place of Shechem. Well, why does the Torah point out that he came to the place that is Shechem? He went there, Rashi says, Lehit Palel Al Bnei Yaakov, to pray for the sons of Yaakov. When they're going to come home from the field and they're depressed, they hear that Dina had been taken captive. Dina had been taken captive. And therefore he comes to pray for them. He comes to pray for them. I would imagine what it means is that he prays for the sons of Yaakov who are going to go into the city of Shechem and slaughter those who have taken forcibly their sister Dinah. V'ani Mosif, the Ramban says, ki hechazik Avram b'makom ahu t'chila, that was the first place that Avram took possession of, so to speak. That place he held on to. V'kodem shenatan lo et ha'aretz, even before God gave him the land is not yet his, but before God gives him the land, he has already, in a sense, sort of symbolically or more than symbolically, he has taken possession of the land. Vani Malsif, ki hechazik Avram b'makom ahu t'chila b'kodem shenatan lo t'ar, nirmaz lo mizeh ki bonav yichbishu b'makom ahu t'chila kodem hayotam zochim. A beautiful thing, the Ramban says. Avram comes to Shechem first. First place he comes in Eretz Yisrael, comes to Shechem. And he sort of, in a symbolic sense, he takes possession in order to demonstrate that this is exactly what's going to happen with his children. Remember, before the land is given to the Jewish people, that's not going to take place for another 500 years. The land will not be theirs until they finally make it into Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yoshua. But there was one place in Eretz Yisrael that they fought for, and they conquered it, and that was in the days of Yaakov. When the sons of Yaakov went in and slaughtered the city of Shechem, they took possession of Shechem. So the Ramban says, Avram's coming to Shechem, first place in Eretz Yisrael, is in order to show that even though the land has not yet been given to him, this is one place that he takes possession of. And the Rashi is going to say, and the Ramban is going to point this out, it says over there in Lech Lecha, V'haknani oz ba'aretz, the Knani was then in the land, meaning it's still the land of the Knani, but Avram took possession. And that's the simon for his children, the children of Yaakov, who are going to take possession of the land, even though the land has not yet been given to them. Yes. All right, I know what you're going to do. I'm going to give you the answer to that question. I like the question. You know why I like the question? Because I have a good answer. Understand? Otherwise, I'd say, it's another Shikasha. Come on. Give me a break. No. Well, let me answer his question first. Do you want to answer his question? Oh, that's not important right now. I'll speak about that later. All right. The question was, here the Ramban is saying that Avram Avinu, in a sense, took possession of Shechem, and this was blazing the trail for his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, who are going to take possession of Shechem when they rescue Dina, when they rescue Dina. So the question is asked, that, wait a minute, but Yaakov is ultimately going to condemn his sons for having done what they did to Shechem. There was a whole shiur some years ago answering that question. They were justified in going into that city and making a churban. And if you want to translate it in modern terms, in contemporary, today's terms, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Anybody who holds a Jewish boy or girl, we go in there and we tear them apart of shticker. You can't hold any of our people. They went into Shechem and they rescued Dina. Who condemns them? You're asking about Yaakov's condemnation before and after? So you should know Yaakov's condemnation. I gave two shurim. One was on Yaakov's first condemnation, and the second was on Yaakov's second condemnation. Right after the act, he says, Achartani oti lahav isheni be'enei haaretz vani misei mispar v'nesfu alai v'hikonu eim alvanim. I remember the pasuk. Yaakov Avinu then tells, I am only a few people. They are going to surround me and destroy me. I pointed out that pasuk of condemnation has 8 words in it that are first person singular. Me. I. What he was condemning was not the act. You know what he was condemning? There's a Ramat Kal to this family. There's a commander-in-chief. The commander-in-chief is me. How do you go ahead and do this without having discussed it with me? It's not a Hefka Platz, this family. We're all responsible for one another. Even if it would only be me. Not all of us, just me. You can't take unilateral action without having discussed it with me. So it's not the act itself that he is condemning. He's saying the way you went about doing it. At the end of his life, when he condemns them, you know why he condemns them? Oh, a very good reason. You went and did this heroic thing because Dina had been taken captive. But by the end of his life, Yaakov, certainly according to the Ramban, knows something else. The big heroes of Dina are the ones who sold Yosef into slavery. Where's your heroism now? That was okay. It was a beautiful thing. You went and you saved Dina. But then you also went and sold your own brother into slavery. Now you deserve to be condemned for it. That's what happened. But that's not part of the shiur. This was a... I have to get to the shiur. Yes. Well, you just want to know where we're at. Okay. Anyway. So you see how it's Maisa Ovesim Al Abarim. Avraham Avinu takes possession of Shechem. before the land is his, just as his great-grandchildren are going to take possession of Shechem before the land has been given to them. Nirmaz lo mizeh. His sons are going to conquer that place. Tchilo. At the very beginning. Kodem hayotem zochim bo, before they really had a right to it. The kodem hayot avon yoshev haaretz shalem, before the sin of the people living in the land was complete. Lahaglotam yisham. The time had not yet come that those living in the land should be exiled. That's why the pasuk in Lech Lecha says, "Vaknami oz ba'aretz." You should know Avram stops at Shechem and symbolically takes possession while the Knani is still in Eretz Yisrael. The Kasher Nosalo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Oretz B'Mamar, when God there tells him verbally that I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael, Oz Nosam Yisham, he journeyed from there. V'Nota Ohel Dein Beit El U'Bein Ha'ai, then he pitches his tent between Beit El and Ai, because that's going to be, in fact, the first place that Yoshua is going to conquer. He is symbolically doing the act of conquest in advance of Yoshua. Rashi also says that wherever Avram went, what he accomplished was Shetehe Ha'oretz Nochal Likavesh, that the land should be easy to be conquered by his children afterwards. Every symbolic act of Avram had great impact in the world. And ultimately, he sets the stage for his children. And then the Ramban explains further. V'chein bir Ramban, the second paragraph, l'fi yisod zeh, according to this fundamental principle of ma'aseh avo simon labonim, et parashat nisoyen harav, the famine. What happens? There's a famine in the land. What does Avram do when there's a famine? He goes down to Mitzrayim. Is that going to happen with his grandchildren and great-grandchildren? There's going to be a famine of the land. Yaakov and his children are going to go down to Mitzrayim. Is Avram going to suffer while he is in Mitzrayim? Of course he is. Sarah is going to be taken from him forcibly. Avram has no recourse to action whatsoever. Who is it that brings plague down upon the house of Paro, the Paro who holds Sarah? God brings down. Does that remind you of what's going to happen later? Jews are enslaved, held by Paro. God brings 10 plagues down upon Paro. And ultimately it says that Avram left Mitzrayim with massive wealth. Achrei chen yetzu b'rechush gadol. Afterwards they're going to go out with great wealth. In other words, this story of Avram coming down to Egypt when there's a famine precisely is the story of what's going to happen later with the Jewish people. Ma'aseh avot siman labanim. It says, these are the words of the Ramban. V'nei Avram yorad Mitzrayim et neharav lo gursham l'hachayot nafshar. Avram went down to Egypt because of the famine to live there, so that he should be able to maintain his life, be in meha patzoret, in the days of hunger. V'hamitzvim oshku alto, the Egyptians robbed him chinam l'kachat ishto, to take his wife. V'akodesh baruch hu nakam et nikmasam. God brought vengeance down upon their house. B'negoyim gedolim, it says, great plagues on the Paro in the days of Avraham, a forerunner of what was going to happen later. V'hotzir misham b'miknet b'kesef b'sohav, and he brought Avraham out with all of this great wealth. V'gam tziva al Paro anoshim l'shalcham. Paro commanded people to go with them to make sure that they leave the country. Just as the Egyptians got up in the middle of the night and threw Jews out, get out of the country quickly. So he's sending a message to Avram. Ki bonav yerdu Mitzrayim, his children will go down to Egypt because of the hunger. Lagur shambaritz, live in Mitzrayim. V'hamitzrim yerov lehem, and the Egyptians are going to do evil to them, and they're going to take their wives from them, as it says, v'chol habat techayun. Kill the male children, but save the females, because they wanted them. And God is going to take revenge with great with great suffering. Until Israel will go out. So what he's demonstrating is, first of all, taking possession of Shechem, taking possession, in a sense, of Ai and Beit El, represent the conquest of Shechem by the children of Yaakov. It represents the conquest of Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yehoshua. And the whole Golos Mitzrayim is played out in Avram Avinu's life in miniature, what will eventually happen to his children. V'atomotze, you find Kol Masha Katuv B'Avram, Katuv B'Vanav. Everything that was written by Avram is written by his children later. By Avram it says, V'yehidov Ba'oretz, there was a famine in the land. And later on, toward the end of Bereshit, it says, Kizesh Natayim Harov Bekerev Eretz. 2 years now there is famine in the land. The third example that we're going to have from the Rabban of Masa of Osimel Abanim is Avram's struggle, his war against the four kings. The four kings symbolize the four major empires in history that are going to cause suffering to the Jewish people: Mitzrayim, Bavel, Parasumadai, Yavan, and then ultimately there will be Edom Romi, the Golos in which we find ourselves. So that whole struggle that took place between Avram and the four kings represents the entire drama of Jewish history. And that ultimately, as Avram emerged victorious, so too we will emerge victorious from the struggle with the nations of the world. That's basically the last part. Let's turn over to the Rambam. And here what we're coming to is the way in which I see Masa Avo Simon Labanim as played out in Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And ultimately, of course, what I want to explain is all of Yitzchak's plowing and planting and digging, and it seems as though there's nothing terribly heroic or historic or greatness involved in it all. That's really what I want to get to.
Isn't it the most important thing Yitzchak did was to bear Yaakov?
Except that the Torah spends many, many psukim telling us about planting and wells. And since the Torah spends many psukim with that, then we have to understand that Torah is telling us something. That means that not only his giving birth to Yaakov was important, in other words, not only that he is the great enabler, that he brings the third generation into the world, if they spend all those psukim telling us and describing to us his digging of wells and his planting, then there must be great significance in that. That's the point that I want to make. I'm reading three halachas in the Rambam. These three halachas in the Rambam are very famous. Every few years we get back to it and we always have a different shot. The Rambam is talking about the sanctity of Yerushalayim, the city in which we live, and the sanctity, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, the land in which we live. And the Rambam had described in advance that there is a terribly important ceremony that takes place when the city of Yerushalayim is expanded, because there are halachas. Yerushalayim has halachas. You're allowed to eat korbanos within Yerushalayim. So just because the municipality decides to build further doesn't give that area sanctity. But the city was a dynamic city. It wasn't static. It grew. So there was a whole process, a halachic process, by which areas added to Yerushalayim also received the sanctity of Yerushalayim. There were korbanos that had to be brought. There was a procession that had to be brought. That had to be done. It had to be done by Sanhedrin and the Melech. And the Rambam had described the whole process of co-opting new areas to Yerushalayim that would have the halachic sanctity of Yerushalayim. Maaser Sheni could only be eaten within Yerushalayim. Korban Todah, Shlomim, can be eaten within the entire city. So that city has to be established halachically. Rambam says, Kol Makom Shelo Nase B'chol Eile, V'chaseder Azeh, any place that all of this process was not done, Ein Kiddush Gomor is not absolutely holy. V'sesh also Ezra, when they came back, there was a whole procedure that he brought two Thanksgiving offerings. Zikaron Hushasa, it was a commemoration of the way in which Yerushalayim was sanctified. Lo b'ma'asavnit kadesh shamakom, it was not his deeds that sanctified the place. Shelo hayosham lo melech v'lo urim v'tumim, you need the king and you need urim v'tumim, the breastplate, all of them, in order to agree to the co-opting of an area to Yerushalayim. U'bamenit kadsha, so how did the city become holy in the days of Ezra when they returned from the Babylonian exile? So the Rambam makes an extremely important halachic statement. V'kiddusha rishona shekiddusha Shlomo. The first sanctity that was placed upon the city by Shlomo, shehu kiddush, he sanctified the Azara, the courtyards of the Beit HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim lishaton for their time, v'kiddusha latid lavo. The sanctity that was imposed upon the city by Shlomo remains in effect for all time. Lefichach, therefore, makrivin hakorbanot kulam, you can bring sacrifices even though there is no Bet HaMikdash. The Harabayit still is Kadosh. Ochlin kodshei kadoshim b'chol azor, you can eat holy of holies, sacrifices that are holy of holies within the entire courtyard. Afal pishei hichareva, even though she is destroyed, ve'inu kefes mechitz, and there is no wall around it. Ve'ochlin kodshim kalim, this is the most important thing for all of Klal Yisrael. Kodshim kalim are shlomim and toda and maaser sheni in all Yerushalayim. All Yerushalayim, what we're talking about now is Yerushalayim bein hachomot. We're not talking about Har Nof or Rechavia. We're talking about Yerushalayim that was Nitkadesh. That was the Yerushalayim within the walls. And we can do it even though, if there's no walls. Shekiddusha Rishono, Kitchel Shato, Vekitchel Osit Lavo. The first sanctity that was made by Shlomo HaMelech was for each time and for all time. Now comes the Rambam asking a question on what he just established. Because the Rambam had paskined in other places that Kedusha Rishona, the first sanctity of the land, Kidshal Lishata, was sanctified only for its time, below Kidshal Atid Lavo. And that sanctity did not last into eternity. And here the Rambam says, the first Kedusha of the land, of Yerushalayim and Ha'abayit, by Shlomo, remains in effect for all time. Watch what the Rambam says. The Lomani Omer, this is a famous Rambam. The Lama and the Yomer, why do I say Ba Migdash Yerushalayim? With regard to the Bet HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, Kedusha Rishona Kitcha, La'atid Lavo, the first sanctity was a sanctity for all time. Ubi Kedusha Shad Eretz Yisrael, but with regard to the sanctity of the rest of Eretz Yisrael, with regard to Shvi'it, the Shvi'it year, Umasrot V'chayotzuben, Lo Kitcha La'atid Lavo. That's what I paskin. I paskin elsewhere. In Hilchus Truos, the Rambam paskins that Kedushas Haaretz, the sanctity of the land, was Kidsha L'Shata, V'lo Kidsha La'atid Lavo. And when they came up with Ezra, they had to sanctify the land again. So he says, his answer is, L'fish Kedushat HaMikdash Yerushalayim Mechnei Ashkina, because the sanctity of the Mikdash in Yerushalayim is because of the divine presence. Ushchina Eino B'Tela. There is no way ever to remove Shchina. Shchina eina b'teila. You can't say that something that was sanctified by the divine presence, like, pfft, gone. No divine presence. No such thing. No such thing. So therefore, Kedushat HaMikdash Yerushalayim remains for all time. Vaharehu Omer. The Pasuk says in in the Tochach and Bechukosev, Hashimoti et Migdashechem, I will make your holy places desolate. V'omru Chachamim, the Chacham said, Af al pi shesh mumin, even though they are desolate, they're still called Migdashechem, your holy places. Even in desolation, they retain their sanctity and their holiness. V'gedushatan hem on them. I have all chiyuv haaretz b'shviyus v'maisres ela eino ela neshu kibush rabin. But the responsibility that the land, that we have to keep the mitzvahs of mitzvot hatluyot baaretz, shmita and maisres, that was because we conquered the land. We sanctified it by conquest. Ezra came in and conquered the land. The kibush nilkech haaretz miyadeyem. But oh hakibush. When the land was taken from them by Bavel, by Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan, they cancelled out the sanctity of conquest. So there it went. The Kedusha that was imposed or brought down upon Eretz Yisrael by virtue of conquest now no longer exists, because the conquest of Babylon has simply removed the effects of the original conquest of Eretz Yisrael by Yoshua. V'nifter min haTorah, so the land is potim min haTorah for Mises u'mishvius shaharei einu me'Eretz Yisrael. It's not Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't have the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. It's Eretz Yisrael in name, but it doesn't have the kedusha. V'kivin shol Ezra, after the destruction of the first Bet Hamikdash, the 70 years of Golus Bavel, Ezra returns to Eretz Yisrael. V'kidsha, and he sanctified the land. Lo kidsha b'kibush. He didn't sanctify it with conquest. You know how he sanctified it? They took hold of the land. I use the word settlement. They sanctified it by settling the land. Ulefichach, therefore, that second sanctity of Eretz Yisrael remains for all time. Therefore, kol makom shehechaziku ba ole Bavel, where any place that those who came up from Bavel took possession of, v'nitkatsha b'kedushat Ezra hashniya, and became sanctified with the kedusha of Ezra. This is the second sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. V'afal pi shenilkecha haaretz mimenu, even though the land was taken from us, but we have never. I know. I have a noob shout in the Rambam. I have a noob shout. How do you like that? The Gemara in Sukkah says, Karka einon exelis. You can steal a movable object from me and walk off with it. You can't steal my land. You can't steal land. Because there's always a day I'm going to come back over there and I'm going to claim my land again. So he says, even though the land was taken from us, Rome, Chayev b'shviyus v'maisis al haderef shebi'arnu v'hilchos truma. The land remains holy. That means like this. There were two sanctities of the land. The first sanctity was by Yehoshua. Yehoshua sanctified the land by conquest. Yedei kibush, conquest. And along came Bavel, and they cancelled the conquest of Yehoshua, so that the Kedusha that was the result of conquest is cancelled. But Ezra and Nehemiah, when they came up to Eretz Israel, they sanctified the land the second time. And this time they sanctified it by virtue of settlement, of building, plowing, planting, taking possession of land. That sanctity remains for all time. I want to say the following. All right, wait. Go ahead. You just want consciously to steal my thunder. You know what I want to say? Masa Avo Simon Labonim, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov represent our relationship to Eretz Yisrael. But wait. Let me explain how. The Rav, in one of his Tshuva Drashis, and Allah Tshuva Rav Soloveitchik, asks, how many times did we did Klal Yisrael come into Eretz Yisrael? And he explains his question there, saying, I don't mean historically, I mean halachically, how many times did Jews enter the land? Halachically, we entered the land twice, Yehoshua and Ezra. This Rambam, he quoted this Rambam. We entered first through conquest, Yehoshua, and we sanctified the land. But that sanctity was canceled out. We came a second time and we sanctified it again in the days of Ezra. Second time. But historically, here's me moving in. Historically, we have returned to Eretz Yisrael three times. The third time is our time. The last 100 years. This is a major return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael. Unparalleled in history. In the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, we've been through it before. 42,000 and change came back from Eretz Yisrael, and about 8,000 animals, horses, donkeys, etc., who are all mentioned there in Sefer Ezra, because those behemoths were holy behemoths that came on Aliyah with Ezra and Nehemiah. You understand? Historically, we came three times. Yehoshua, Ezra, our days. The Vilna Gaon says the following. Totally unrelated to Avrom, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I'm going to use the Vilna Gaon to explain the parashiyot that we are learning. The Vilna Gaon says, first time we came into Eretz Yisrael with conquest. The second time we came into Eretz Yisrael was settlement. Over 200 years ago, the Vilna Gaon said, the third time we come to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to need both. We're going to need conquest and settlement. Both. We're going to need not only Yehoshua, we're going to need Ezra and Nehemiah. By the way, the gematria of Yehoshua equals precisely the gematria of Ezra and Nehemiah. I think it's 391 the last time I figured it out. And I think the Vilna Gaon says that as well. I mean, there's no question about it that the Vilna Gaon saw what was going to happen over here. Eretz Yisrael would be settled again, and we would have to fight for it. Maisa Ovo Simon Labonim. The Ramban is saying that whatever the fathers did was a Simon Labonim. It blazed the trail for the children afterwards. I say the following. Avram Avinu represents Yehoshua. Avram Avinu is the one who is setting the stage for the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. What did the Ramban say? He came to Shechem to pray for his children who were going to conquer that place first. From Shechem he went and pitched his tent between Beit El and Ai, because that was the next place that was going that Yehoshua was going to conquer when they go into Eretz Yisrael. I had quoted earlier the Rashi that says that as Avram goes through the land, he makes the land nocha, easier, likovesh, to be conquered by his children. When the Rebbeinu Shem tells Avram Avinu and Parshas Lech Lecha, come, his halech baretz, arise and go through the land, Avram's traveling through the land is making and preparing, laying the groundwork, setting the stage, building the foundations for the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. Avram Avinu goes to war and destroys those four mighty empires that will ultimately want to take over Eretz Yisrael. Avram Avinu represents Yehoshua. Ah, but what did the Rambam say about Ezra? When Ezra and Nehemiah come back, what are Ezra and Nehemiah going to do? How are they going to sanctify the land? What kind of Kedusha? You know what the Kedusha is going to be? It's going to be the Kedusha of settlement. You know what the Kedusha of settlement is? Planting and digging wells. Yitzchak is not just doing insignificant acts of digging another well and another well and planting. What he is doing is setting the stage for the second sanctity of Eretz Yisrael that will sanctify Eretz Yisrael for all time. So when we read all of these psukim about Yitzchak, make no mistake. Don't think that sort of, well, you know, Avram accomplished great things, and Yitzchak doesn't seem to have done terribly much. Kedushas Eretz Yisrael today is because of the digging of wells and the plowing and planting of Yitzchak all the way back there, because Masa Avos, the deeds of the fathers, Simul Avonim. That sets the stage for the children. You know what Yaakov Avinu represents? Yaakov Avinu represents the return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael in our time. Yaakov Avinu had to fight for Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu had to build. He did both. Where does he come? He comes to Shechem. And it says, Vayichan et pnei ha'ir. He favored the city. He built things. He improved the city, despite the fact, of course, that Avram, that Yaakov Avinu, doesn't stop them from cruelly and brutally abducting Dinah. You know? Nothing has nothing to do. One thing has nothing to do with the next. Then when you asked that question about Yaakov and his sons, so he says, I'm afraid that they're going to surround me and they will destroy me. The fact is, they did surround him, but he crushed all the opposition. At the end of his life, when he's speaking to Yosef in Parshas Vayechi, he tells Yosef, I've given you a double portion of the land, Ashelokachti miyadho Amori, that I took from the hands of the Amori, becharvi with my sword, ubekashti, and with my bow. Yaakov had to fight for Eretz Yisrael. But at the same time that he fought for Eretz Yisrael, he plowed, he planted, he built, by even base bias for his family, he built homes, for his cattle, he built sukkot. Yaakov Avinu represents the third entry into Eretz Yisrael. The entry that the Dawn of Vilna says will require both conquest and settlement. If so, it means that I have taken the words of the Ramban of Masa Avos, Siman Abanim, and we have extended it now to the totality of Jewish history. Avram Avinu represents the period of the first Beit HaMikdash, the entry into the land in the days of Yahushua. The conquest of Eretz Yisrael succeeds because Avraham Avinu had set the stage for it. Yitzchak is the one, you know, all sorts of thoughts go through my head as I say this year. Is it possible that Yitzchak, after the Akedah represents the destruction, I'm trying to say, it represents the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, goes up in flames, Tara Moria. What does he do after the Holocaust, after the destruction? He takes possession of the land. He doesn't give up. He digs wells. He plants. Isn't it a beautiful comparison to that period from destruction of first Beit HaMikdash until the during the period of the whole second Beit HaMikdash? Yaakov Avinu, of course, we're Yaakov Avinu. We are here in the source of Yaakov Avinu. What's fascinating? I think what's fascinating, we're here because of Yaakov and Rachel. Can't ever forget Rachel. In other words, the land and its sanctity may be Yaakov Avinu, but the fact that we are here is because of Rachel Imenu, because she is the one who cries before God, Kol b'romo nishma nihi b'chi tamrurim Rachel nevaka al bonel me'anal hi nachem. She refuses to be consoled, and ultimately it's only to her that God says, V'shavu banam l'gvulam, v'shavu me'eretz oyeh, your children will return from the land of the enemy, your children will return to their boundaries. We are here, v'schusos shel chachal imenu, and we hold on to Eretz Yisrael in the schus of Yaakov Avinu. Okay, that we added now during the course of this year. You know, I always tell you, you inspire me. You inspire me. So that now we have taken the Masei Avos Siman Labonim of the Ramban, and we have now made it the totality of Jewish history. By it Rishon, by it Sheni. By the way, you know what else I can say? Why is Kedushas HaMikdash the Yerushalayim? The Rambam had said Kedushas HaMikdash Yerushalayim is because of the Shekhinah. And Shekhinah Eina Betela, therefore the first sanctity of Mikdash Yerushalayim remains for all time. You know what it was? Who sanctified it? Yitzchak on Har HaMoriah. The one to whom God says in this Sedra, Shchon Ba'aretz, bring the Shekhinah down on Eretz Israel. Where he brings the Shekhinah down, that Kedusha remains for all time. But Kedusha Eretz Israel, the first Kedusha was because of conquest. That was cancelled out. Then came settlement. Of course, one of the questions that so many of the Achronim have asked, want to understand the Rambam, it leaves the impression that settlement is more powerful than conquest. And the Rambam sort of, you know, we said the words in the Rambam. The Rambam said that the settlement, even though the land was taken from us afterwards. So I tried to give an answer there. In other words, first of all, why is settlement stronger and more powerful than conquest? Why is settlement more powerful than conquest? We would think that conquest is far more powerful than settlement. And despite that, the Rambam says that the second sanctity that was because of settlement remains for all time. And then he puts in those words, even though the land was taken from us. But wait a minute. If the land was taken from us, does that not mean that the settlement was cancelled? Just like Yehoshua's conquest was cancelled by the conquest of Nebuchadnezzar, why not the land taken from us also cancels out the sanctity of settlement? So I mentioned the Gemara in Sukkah, Karkain and Exeles, you can't steal land, but I have a better answer. In the Tochacha, in Parshat Chukotai, it says, V'shamamu aleha oyeveichem hayoshvim ba. When the land is going to be conquered, and you're going to be sent out into Golos, the Goyim are going to take over the land. And then there, in the middle of the Tochacha, it says, V'shamamu aleha oyeveichem, your enemies who are in the land are going to be desolate. And Rashi and the Ramban both say, in the middle of the Tochacha, in other words, they see the Tochacha as, there's good news and there's bad news. Or better said, there's a lot of bad news and there's some good news. The bad news, of course, is the suffering of the Jewish people. But the good news is, your enemies will be desolate in the land. That they will never be able to settle the land. Never be able to settle the land. The fact is that that's what happened. For 2,000 years of Jewish history, there's no people really that took root in this land ever. So many came and went. Nobody really settled land. Nobody established anything here. Nothing. Eretz Yisrael remained absolutely faithful to Klal Yisrael. The land only began to give out its fruits when Jews started coming back. So I say on the basis of that Ramban and that Rashi, which is a Sifri in Parshat Bechukotai, that nobody will be able to settle the land ever until we return. Now you can understand the Rambam. What cancels out conquest? Another conquest. What would cancel out our settlement? Somebody else settling it. But what happens if the Torah says nobody will be able to settle it? So there's no settlement to ever cancel out our settlement. So that our settlement remains the source of sanctity for all time. The Valde Gevort, you should know. I have to say it. It's good. So there you have it. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. We understand now why Yitzchak digs wells, why Yitzchak plants. Yitzchak represents Ezra and Nehemiah. Yitzchak is the second sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov is going to have to wage war. Yaakov is going to have to wage war, and he's also going to have to plow and plant and build, because he represents our return to Eretz Yisrael. There's a very beautiful, I just want to end with a beautiful Targum Onkelos. Targum Onkelos on that, on those words, of Yaakov, that he says to Yosef, I've given you a double portion in the land, Ashalokachti Miyatu Emodi, that I took from the hands of the Emodi, Becharbi Ubekashti, with my sword and with my bow. So the Targum says beautifully, Bitsaluti Ubibauti, with my prayer and my supplication. We don't just win wars, and Yaakov understood that he didn't just win battles because he was stronger or mightier or more powerful. With every battle, there was prayer, there was tilim. Bitsaluti is prayer, ubabauti is bakashar. That's how he translates the words sword and bow. Sword and bow have the power behind them, the power of prayer and takasha, entreaty to God. That's the way we do it. Okay. Yes, Hashem. Should be zeich indeed to take permanent possession of this land. Okay.